I want to say a couple things, and then I'm going to jump in. If you expected me to be syrupy and sad, that might happen tonight. I ain't sure. But I feel like God's really given me something today, and I'm so excited about it, y'all. I'm excited about this word that I feel like God's given me, so I'm not going to be sad if that's cool with y'all. I'm going to be excited because I believe God's got something for y'all, and I believe God's got something for us, and so I'm gonna be excited, and then we might cry together tonight. I just want to say a couple things as I'm jumping in to this last message. On Thursday, when I was done cleaning out my office and packing up, Leah and the kids were somewhere, and I didn't have anywhere to be. And so I got a routine that when I can get in here alone, and I've done this the entire time we've been in this building, I like to be in here and just walk through the chairs and walk around. I don't pray still very well. I know that shocks y'all because I stay still so often. But I don't pray, you know, in one place very much. But I do like to pray by myself and get with God, and just sometimes I put on worship music and I pray in the spirit and I just get after it. And I was in here praying, and this was my whole thing. I just felt deeply led at the end. I was packed up, was ready to roll, and I just wanted to thank God. I mean, literally, I just came in here to tell God I'm thankful. Here's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that in 7+ years of being the pastor at this church, I mean this with all my heart or I wouldn't say it, I've never dreaded coming to work one day. As God is my witness, I've dreaded things I had to deal with. But how many of y'all know that's different than dreading work itself and the people that you work with? Austin Rex Barnett, who I've worked with for 11 years this December. Y'all pray for him, Jesus' name. It's been amazing. It's been amazing. Never one time. Now, I know I've gotten on your nerves. Let's just be honest, because I'm a lot to deal with sometimes. But I can tell you with absolute certainty, personalities aside, I've loved coming to work every day. And I just sat in here and I thank God for it. I thank God that it wasn't a place that I dreaded. I'm serious. I thought about y'all. I did not pray for each one of y'all individually. That would be a lie. But I pray for a bunch of you. And I just ask God this, Lord, just increase them. Increase them in their lives, in their belief in you, in every part of what they do. Increase them. Let them trust you with their whole heart so that they can experience what you have, so that they can be all that you've created them to be in Christ Jesus. And I just thanked him for y'all because y'all, I'm telling you, I mean this. I've told my friends this that are pastors. I got several friends here, and I'm so thankful y'all are here, friends and family. And I've told everybody this, and I mean it. I don't know that anybody's ever pastored a greater group of people than y'all. I'm serious. It's unbelievable. There's been such little drama. I had so much more drama. Y'all better listen to what I'm saying right now. As a student pastor, holy Moses. Ain't got no angry mamas at Four Points. Y'all better talk to me in here. Y'all are just such kind people. I mean, for real, kind, loving people. And I'm so proud and honored that I got to be your pastor. And I just want to tell you I love you. And I love our worship team. Man, it's easy to preach after a worship team that really loves Jesus and gets after it. I'm just telling you, because y'all can judge me if you want to, because this is worth judging. I've preached after bad worship many times. Help me, Lord. Some of y'all ain't ever preached, because y'all wouldn't know what I'm talking about. Because it's rough, and our team's awesome. And I'm going to tell you what I love about them. They're better people. They're fun to be around. They're fun to hang out with. And so I know this is a bit nostalgic and syrupy. I'm not emotional. I just want you to know how grateful I am. And at the end, I'm going to share with you what I believe God told me right here, right on that crack as I was walking. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I believe he told me something. I believe it's for y'all. And I believe it's for us. So the title of my message today in this final part of We Are Four Points is, everybody say it? Jesus. Now, let me just say as a quick thing, I do not watch this show. I love you. And Leah's watching it, and I ain't getting into it because I know if I get into it, I got enough chick flick stuff in my life because I watch them with Leah. I ain't watching another one. Y'all can judge me if you want to. But this is what it means. It's not the TV show. Y'all, I'm serious. This really, what I'm preaching and what I believe we've put on the wall, this is who we are. And so the hope today is not that you can just be encouraged. The hope today is that you can put legs on what God's put on my life and our lives, and that we can walk it out. Because the last 2 points of our 4 points, or our four culture points, is we love like crazy. We love like crazy, and that we do life together. We love like crazy, and we do it together. That really, truly, this isn't about a dude, and this isn't about 10 dudes. This is about each one of us being a part of what God's kingdom is about. This is about, this is a house that God has built, and it's on the firm foundation of Jesus. And it doesn't matter if another person comes, especially when it's their assignment, it's going to be better. But we do it together. So this is what I think's the problem. This is what I think's the problem. How do we walk it out? How do we walk it out? Because it's cool to say we're going to love like crazy. But it's Christmas time. Can we just be real today in here? I need y'all to talk to me. Can we be real in here? It's hard to love people. Some of y'all are lying. Everybody didn't say amen right there is lying. You got family. If you love your whole family, something's wrong with you. If you're looking forward to being with your entire family at Christmas, something's wrong with you. Because you got a crazy uncle. So let me ask this question. How do we do this? And here's what I mean. I'm not saying that sometime this afternoon you can't love somebody. I'm saying that Tuesday afternoon when you forgot to eat lunch and it's 3 o'clock and you got some hangry. How do we still walk this way? How do we still do it? You're welcome for that, by the way, whoever liked it. That was the Shekinah. How in the world do we walk it out? How do we become consistent followers of Jesus? Because I'm about to preach and I ain't even started yet. And if y'all aren't ready to hear preaching today, you're just going to be upset. Listen to me. This is what God's put on my life. And if you don't like it, you get to be excited because you don't have to hear it every day. Listen, I'm being for real. It drives me crazy what the public perception of Christianity is. Do you know what people think we are? I'm not talking about 4 points for a second. I'm capital C around the world. Do you know what people think we are? Angry. We hate them. Everybody knows what you disagree with. Because they saw your Facebook. And they're proud of you for posting 475 things. That's why I unfollowed you a long time ago. But I love you. Everybody knows that we're against abortion. Everybody knows that we're against gay people. Everybody knows, but that's not what we're supposed to be against. We're supposed to be against evil. The people are people. We're supposed to love the people. But y'all, listen, we talk this way. We don't walk this way. We don't do it. It is much easier for us to talk about the team that we love and the side that we vote with than walk in the way that Paul's going to show us in Ephesians 4 in a second. Why? Because I don't feel like it. And I can't prove a point doing this. See, when I take my side, I can prove a point and I can be right. And y'all, I'm just telling you the truth. Y'all don't have to believe me. I feel better in the moment. You know what I say? I say stuff like this. I get home to Leah sometimes. And I bet she's thinking to herself, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Like, it's going to be a bad night. I told them what I thought because I don't mind confrontation. But you know what really bugs me? And this is about me. This isn't about them. It bugs me when I'm across the table from somebody. Or I'm watching a guy on TV that is not the same color as me or the same way he votes as me or the same way as whatever as me. And I look at him and say, what an idiot. And they don't know Jesus. If y'all don't remember anything I said, can you take this home? People that don't know God, that don't deeply believe that God loves them, are not going to live the way a follower of Jesus is going to live. So if we would just start with this, I'm going to not put the expectation that they're going to live like a follower of Jesus on the thing, then it would help us a lot. Because I'm here to let y'all know something. It don't matter who the next president is. It don't matter in 2020 if the Democrat gets in there or if Trump stays. It does not matter. It does not matter. It does not matter. And let me help y'all with something else. I'm going to vote, and I believe we should vote. And God bless America, we get to vote. But God's going to pick who our next president is because God ordains all of them anyway. Oh, Y'all don't have to amen me. I'll amen me. Come on, preacher, you better preach. Because I'm telling y'all, this is the truth. And when we lose our minds and we get so mad at people and say, you better believe what I believe, we fail to realize this, that everything that I do in my life until God radically rescues me is as a result of the environment that I've been in my entire life. Let me tell you about my environment. I'm a white Republican who's Baptist, who only knew that my entire life. So whenever someone came against me with something else, I immediately said, idiots. Is it just too awkward? Y'all can't say something to me? Look at those morons. And then we get people in the White House or in government, and this is what we say. They ought to go in them inner cities and they ought to change them, so give them some money. You didn't do nothing to the environment. And those quote-unquote hood rats that we love to cuss at and say they're just a bunch of idiots, they're not going to change if we don't get them out of the environment that they're in. No one changes in a stuck environment. So as a result, we got all this information, and we know what we want to be, but we just talk this way. We don't walk this way. Because when the world sees us, you know what they see? They call us this all the time, but they're right about Mark. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. Because let a pastor do something. I ain't talking about me. Y'all have been so kind to me, and maybe it's not y'all. But let a pastor do something that we disagree with and see the tyranny that he's got to walk through. Christians. I've learned that lost people are a whole lot nicer to pastors than Christians. Watch, because it's not what I believe in, it's not the environment that I've been in, so they have to be wrong. It is impossible for us to ever be all that God's called us to be if we're so wrapped up in the small God that we've ever worshiped in our lives. Because if my mama or my daddy or my preacher or my whoever is all the God that I ever get, how many of y'all know I'm not him? Am I talking to you? I ain't God. I'm Mark. My poop stinks when I go. I get angry. I struggle deeply. Leah and I fuss. Whenever I'm facing turmoil, I take it out on her, not anybody else. I'm insecure. I struggle deeply. I don't even know if I believe what I believe sometimes. But there's this weird thing that happens that God's grace and faith overwhelms me and it covers me. And then all of a sudden I realize it was never about you anyway. He just needs me to walk this way. Just walk it out. Just walk it out. So what I want to leave you with is this. We can do this. We can do this. We can do this. We can do everything that God's called us to do. Y'all, I'm telling you, we can accomplish what people for generations will talk about. But not the way we're doing it now. Because if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to look up when we're 80 and we're going to say, what happened to all that time? What happened to what I was supposed to accomplish? What happened because I felt like God had urged me to do something, but I couldn't understand what happened? I'm glad you asked. I'm about to show you, and I think verse 1 is so cool that I'm about to do a cartwheel, and if y'all think it's weird, I don't care because I'm so excited. Ephesians chapter 1. And I mean chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I therefore, meaning Paul speaking to this church in Turkey today. It's in Turkey today. It was one of the most influential places on the planet. And Paul's talking to this church, and right here he changes the subject. And he says, now I need you to get this. I need you to get this. I'm a prisoner. Everybody say prisoner. Prisoner. Say it loud and proud. Prisoner. Prisoner. Y'all better get this. You're a prisoner to something. You're a prisoner to something. You've chosen what you're a prisoner to. I'm about to show you how. For the Lord, I'm a prisoner. I'm in chains is what other translations say of the English language. I'm in chain to him. I'm a slave to him. He says, I urge you to, what's this word? Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is a weird sentence. Like, all right, Paul, so why couldn't you just said, I urge you to walk in your calling? Because Paul's not speaking about what you're called to vocationally. Paul's not speaking about what you're called to when you get this anointing on you and you start shaking. Paul's not talking about how you are impressing people, that calling. That's another one. And he talks about it later. But this is what you've been called to. He said, no, the centerpiece is what is before your vocational, your personal, your uniqueness that God created you to be. The uniqueness that God created you to be is your calling. But what you were called to is so much bigger and better than that. Guess what you were called to? You were called to salvation unto Christ Jesus. You were called because he loved you so much that he sent Jesus. And the calling that is bigger than any other calling in my life is when Jesus called me to be his son. That's the calling. He's like, look, I know you've got something on your life, church. But if you miss this point, you missed everything. Y'all did so good. I'm about to preach so good right now. I hope y'all are ready. I went crazy when I saw this. Because I was like, I want to do this so bad, God. What's the problem? He said, walk this way. Walk this way. Look, in the Greek, the word walk is parapeto. That's not even close to what I said. Parapeteo. Let's try it again. This just means comprehensively around. So it's what your life revolves around, if you can picture it this way. If you can picture the earth, peri happens every day on the earth. Why? Because it is revolving around the... Y'all don't know that? Do I need to pump the brakes and teach y'all some science? The earth goes around the sun. So it doesn't get to choose. I don't know if y'all know this. It's just doing it. So it's comprehensively around. Period. And then the second part is where we get the word path from in the English language. It means to walk. Now, this does not mean that you're supposed to walk in circles. That is weird. This is figuratively speaking. They knew that back then. We don't get to know Greek very much. And if you do, God help you, because it's crazy. But the only thing that this means is it's the manner in which, it's the picture of, it makes sense. It's whatever is at the center. And then he gives us the word in the word manner. It's the word axis. In the Greek, it's axios. We get the word axis point. It's the thing in the middle that I am revolving around. So just like the sun is on this thing and it goes around, and every 365 days, guess what it does? Some of y'all can help me. It gets all the way around, right? And then it's spinning. And in the evening and the morning, we're the first. Y'all can say, day, this is awkward right now. Like it does this and it does this, right? So some of y'all, we'll get it later. But listen, as a picture, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Here's the problem. Remember, going backwards, walk in a manner worthy of your calling that you've been called to. So the way that you do your calling, to love people. I don't care what your specific calling is. We're all called to love God and love people. The way that we do life together and not kill each other, he's like, look, it's on the center point and it's the axis. And if you're not walking it out this way, you ain't going to do it. Like, it doesn't matter how hard you try. You know the things that we say? My daddy was an alcoholic. I ain't doing that. Do you know most people that say that end up being that because they speak it into their lives? Did you hear what I just said? Most people that I found that with grit in their teeth say, I'm never going to do that, end up doing exactly that they thought they'd never do. And it's because not being that becomes their axis point. Let me talk about some access points for a minute, because I think this is fun. Some of y'all are going to be offended. I love you. Some of the pastors in the room that are my boys, y'all better say amen. People with kids, if you have children in the room, throw your hand up. Don't lie. All right, now, I'm talking to y'all. Our kids. My kids are not the center of my life. Oh, yeah. Let an umpire call a strike when you thought it was a ball. Strike. What did you say? You blip, 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 blip. And then you're dropping bombs, and you were Mr. Nice Guy 10 minutes ago. You're the dude at work that's so kind, but all of a sudden your kid doesn't get what you thought. Let your kid not get playing time on my team. Hey, listen to me. You know why that happens? Like, this is free. I'm not even charging for this. It happens because I don't like my experience in high school, because I thought I should have been a Division I athlete. So you know what happens, Rhonda? So I'm mad, and I thought I was better, so Haston, come here. You get to be Mark. You don't get to be Haston. So then I start pushing him because I'm going to make him the best he can be. No, you ain't. Someone talk to me. It don't help, does it? When I live vicariously through somebody else because I don't like the outcome of my own life, I put them in the center. You know what we do? Christians, I'm talking to y'all for a second. If you're not saved, just stay with me. You know what we do? We say, hey, Jesus, I need you to come bless what's at the middle of my life. What is the most important thing? What I have put as the purpose of which I do what I do. And then right now we say, whoa, Pastor, pump the brakes. I love my kids a ton, but Jesus is at the center. But we couldn't get y'all to tithe if we offered y'all a car. Oh, he's tall. He stepped on my toes. I'm leaving. Y'all don't have to be mad at me. Come on, somebody. But you know what you will tithe to with your time, money, and resources? Whatever is right here. No one has to ask you. You can't wait to give to the Gamecock Club. Why? Because God, I pray that you make those 18 to 22-year-old young men win the game, because my life will be better. I won't be mean to my wife anymore. Who are we talking to? God. I love football. I'm going to watch it today. I ain't apologizing. I love y'all. I love y'all that are playing football in college next year. I love y'all that coach football. I love all of y'all that love football. But football can't be this. But it is for a lot of us. A lot of us that call ourselves followers of Jesus. Because when we lose our minds over stuff, it's not because Jesus did it. I almost sang Tasha right there, but I held it in. Jesus did it. Hey, listen. You know one song that I really love? It's Israel Houghton's song, Jesus at the Center of It All. And Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. And you know the problem is that's a beautiful song, and I love singing. I love when Shannon sings it a lot better. You sing it good. And we love to talk this way, don't we? But in reality, this is what we want. I'm just being completely raw with y'all today because I thought the Lord told me to. We love to sing it. We just don't love to bring it. And the result is this. For some of y'all, this is going to be way too much. I don't care. I believe you need it. The result is when I think that Jesus is the axis point that I'm living around, but things don't go the way that I thought they should. Or when God begins to call you to more and increase your life, I'm telling you, take it to the bank. You don't have to believe me. I can promise you it's true. And I can tell you personal stories. If he's increasing you, the attack's coming. Amen. Every single time. Yeah. When the increase comes, the attack comes. When the increase comes, the attack comes. A lot of times it comes before. And we put something else at the center and just hope Jesus pixie dust and his Jesus juice will come and fix us. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't come to fix you. He came to make you new. He came to raise dead people to new life in him. And whenever I decide to receive the good gift of God by trusting him as Lord, and then I decide, hey, guess what? I'm going to put you in my box beside me. I want you to bless what I'm living around. I'm going to walk in this manner. Jesus, come sprinkle your salt on me. And then we get mad that we get so angry at our brides, husbands. Why would I take it out on her? Because you're trying to do what you can't do outside of the love of God. You can't consistently love people. And you know what? You're passionate people, and I'm a passionate person. So when I deeply love, I also deeply hate. And what the world sees, because they don't get to see love, y'all. They see our mistakes. And you're a human, and you're going to make mistakes. But when they see them consistently living outside of a consistent life, y'all, this is how we live consistently. It's not because Jesus doesn't love you. It's not because you don't have the power in the Holy Spirit to do these things. You have all the power that raised Christ from the dead, Romans 8:11, living inside of you. The reason is because we take the power that raised Christ from the dead and we shut it off and we try to fill it with something else. And that becomes the access point that we live our lives around. And we give our time and we give our talent, we give our money and we give our stuff, and we get mad at God for not blessing what we're given to. And we can't understand why we're so frustrated and feel like I'll never reach my destiny in Christ Jesus. Friend, I'm gonna tell you something. All of us are in that same boat. Your pastor is definitely not without deep struggles. Why? Because there's just sometimes I like to be the most important thing in my life. And it's interesting what Paul said next. He said, with humility and gentleness, which means meekness, power under control. That the picture of that is that I have a great sword that can chop everybody in pieces, but I know when to pull it out and when to leave it in. Power under control. And humility is not beating myself up and thinking less of myself. It's thinking of myself less. It's thinking of him more. It's waking up in the morning and being grateful for all that he's done. It's fixing my eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith. Look back to what Paul said. I'm in chains and I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus. Y'all, we are in chains in prison to debt. We're in chains in prison to our kids. We're in chains in prison to our spouses. We're in chains in prison to our jobs, to our goals, to all those other things. And if those things ever get up to where Jesus is, we will try to be above him, which is all pride is, if y'all remember that message I preached a couple weeks ago. All pride is I'm the same as him. Now I need you to come. Now I lay me down to sleep. Bless me, Lord. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. Help me. And then the result is when we're supposed to bear each other in love and we're supposed to be patient with each other, y'all, when we're hangry and when we're frustrated and when we know that God's told us something and when we look and say, this isn't going my way, fix it. Our prayers are not affectionate. A lot of times, they're fix it. They're frustrated because we have to know all the answers before we're willing to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. But if you remember last week's message that I did online, y'all, I'm telling you, if I've learned anything in these last few years, everything that God does and operates through is cyclical. Everything, 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 everything. And whenever I get frustrated by what I planted, it was probably because I was giving words, giving money, giving time, giving love for the wrong reasons. Because when I love you and hope that you'll give me something back, that is called manipulation. And that happens in our lives and it will happen to you. But if you can realize that this is probably how you've lived your life, if you've lived a life of frustration, I'm not telling you, y'all better listen to me, I'm not telling you that hell's not coming against you. Y'all, it will increase as you go. If you ever hear someone say, there will be peace and you'll never have troubles, run. Lies. Because this thing's not about you. It's about you returning everything to the one that it's really about. The one that made the exchange that is greater than us and greater than all things. So if he can just distract you, he's going to try. Then you'll be frustrated because you'll be so far from God. In your heart, you'll feel so far. And he's right there just waiting on you to make him the center of it all. And he said, look, it has to happen through the unity of the Holy Spirit and the bond of peace. You can't have peace on this earth, goodwill toward men, because we sang a song. Peace only comes through the Holy Spirit of God. Peace only comes when I'm willing to lay down what I believed and what I was taught and the culture that I grew up in and the environment I grew up in and say, you know what, Spirit of God, I may be wrong. I know I'm right on one thing. Jesus is the only way to God. I know I'm right on that thing because I have a life and love in Jesus. I have everyday walk with him, but there's lots of things I've learned I'm wrong about. So if I would not judge you and try to live my life so that I can have peace with you as long as you do what I want you to do, the only way that can happen is if God begins to change my heart every single day in the bond of peace. In unity that only can truly come through the Holy Spirit. How do we live life together and love people like crazy? Jesus has to be at the center. And verse 4 says, there is one body. Everybody say one. There is, say it again. Say one. One Spirit. Just as you were called, I was called to one hope. That one hope is not your job. That one hope is not your kids. That one hope is not your spouse. That one hope is not your destiny. That one hope is not your future. That one hope is a love relationship and a salvation in Jesus Christ. That is our present hope. That we are not in our permanent place. That I'm a stranger and an alien in a foreign place because my home is heaven. And I'm bringing heaven to earth because that's my duty. I'm an ambassador of another kingdom, and it's the kingdom up there. And I will, everywhere that I go, I will show the King's love to people. But I'm in chains to him, not chains to what I was walking around. You have been called to the same thing I've been called to. My uniqueness is different, but the call that is bigger than all calls is the hope that we have in Jesus that belongs to your call. We have one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And another verse says he's all in all. Here's the problem. So many times when I go to God, what I'm going to God about is, I need you to come help my situation. I need you to come fix my stuff. There's nothing wrong with coming to God and deeply agonizing over what's going on. He prays on our behalf when we don't even have words, is what Romans 8:26 says. But whenever I just think of God as someone off to the side to come help me and not who resides here, I will live a life contrary to walking in a manner worthy of my calling, and therefore the world sees us as angry because we are. Because we look at people as idiots and not precious people that God made in his image. They are a ton of them out of the 8 billion that aren't living godly, but it's because they don't know our God. They don't have a love relationship. They haven't realized that no matter what they've done in their lives, God deeply loves them. The hope is not that a pastor can preach good enough. The hope is that a group of people who deeply love Jesus can become unified in Christ Jesus and begin to show the love of Jesus, begin to walk it out, begin to do life together, begin to bear one another's love, begin to do all these things. But it cannot happen if you try harder or try to do better, because you will fall on your face and go, "What did I do?" Listen, I want y'all to hear this from my heart. There's nothing that I'm incapable of in sin. If you think of an evil thing that could possibly happen, I'm capable. I'm 5 seconds, not 5 days. I'm 30 seconds from doing something so stupid in my life that I will wreck this thing, meaning my life, my family. As soon as I decide to walk in a manner different than what I've been called to. There is no guarantee. There is only a promise. But the promise is tied to obedience in Christ. Prophetic words that are given for encouragement and preparation, not so that I got to get out of jail free card and I get to live like hell my entire life. I get the opportunity every day to surrender and surrender and surrender, and that's not what saves me. I've been saved. Since July of 1997, when I truly surrendered my life to Jesus, I've been saved. But every day, I get to decide who's at the center, me or Jesus. Me or Jesus. Me or Jesus. My kids are Jesus. Leah are Jesus. The church are Jesus, because I know a lot of pastors who I deeply love that their church is what's at the center, and they hope Jesus, who is the foundation, the cornerstone, that Jesus will bless his own bride without making Jesus the center. He didn't call us to make the church the point. He called us to make him the point and be his bride that deeply loves him. And we've gotten that wrong as a community and as a world. But not us, y'all. This is us. This is us. That God has given his grace to each one of us, to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, which just simply means, listen to me, look this way, that God has called you differently than he's called me. Because each one of us he made in his image, and then he uniquely called us to accomplish something on this earth. One of the most tragic things in the world is not lost people being lost. That is horrible, and that is our purpose in Christ Jesus, to honor and glorify him and then to show the world that Jesus is the way. But I find it just as tragic when there's an army of followers of Jesus that don't have to pick up swords but simply follow Jesus. And they live their lives denying him every single day with what has been the purpose of their life, which is to just follow him and receive all the good gifts that he has. Because listen to me, I am not speaking of things. This simply means favor. The word favor simply means God's grace. It's his extended hand to us. It's God giving us what we don't deserve. And the greatest gift of grace is Jesus. There has never been a picture of grace like Jesus. And there never will be again a greater picture of grace because he finished the work. Everything I'll ever need was accomplished on the cross. The reason I don't get daily favor is not because it's not available, because heaven is limitless in what he can give. I don't get it because I hope God's favor will come. Listen to me, y'all better not miss this part. I hope and pray for God's favor to come on my life when I'm walking it a different way. Here's what I'm telling you. It may come, but it ain't from God. If you've decided that Jesus doesn't need to be at the center, then when the good things come in your life, you better run for the hills. And I'm going to show you why. If you're taking notes, you can take these three things down. This is why I think our church is going to change the world right here. First thing that I want y'all to know, and it felt like the Lord told me to share with you based on these verses, is before I try to figure out what my unique calling is, Pastor, what's my assignment? I want to walk away with my assignment. I want to know my assignment. Back up. You've been called to the same hope that I've been called to. Stop worrying about your assignment and worry about, what's this word? I know a guy who had his vehicle 150,000 plus miles and never changed the oil or got the tires rotated in the line. Listen, how many of y'all know that didn't go well? Because that just doesn't work. I don't know if y'all know this, but some of y'all are like, I'm supposed to change the oil? Yes. Yes, please do. When I say the word alignment, I mean that we fall under how we're supposed to fall under. And above all, this means that I fall under God in my life every single day, and I submit myself to him fully and completely. Fully and completely. The Bible says, wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. And then, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So when we start throwing these verses back at each other from Ephesians 5, we should probably pump those brakes just a little bit and back up to Ephesians 4 and say, yeah, I hadn't made him the centerpiece of my life, and I'm not walking in a manner worthy of my calling, so I probably shouldn't hold Leah in contempt of court for not submitting in my marriage, because I dang sure ain't loving her like Christ loved the church. I'm loving her as long as I can get back what I want to get. If you're not lined up in Christ Jesus, how he ordered it to be, do not get mad at him for not making your assignment clear. There is nobody anywhere ever that wants you to accomplish what God wants you to do more than God himself. He made you to do it. I can't tell you what he wants you to do more than the Spirit of God in you. It's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, that the Spirit in you knows what the Spirit put in you. So you don't have to be confused. You can just walk with him. But if he's not the axis point of your life, you're not going to know your assignment. And therefore, we'll be the saddest people on the planet because we'll have such great potential in Christ Jesus and never meet it. That's what graveyards are full of all over the upstate. People that had Jesus but lived their own lives. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So we walk this way together. We walk this way. And then I've got to understand that before I get a promotion in my life, this is what I was saying a minute ago, that I've got to follow his process. Someone say process. You may be the person that loves systems and processes. God love you. I do not. I like to do my own way right away at Jesus King now. Some of y'all remember Burger King. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a process. God has his own order. God is such a God of order. And when we decide, I bumped out, I'll do it my own way, watch, and then promotion comes, it ain't from God, it's from the enemy. Say, so what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about when in Matthew 4, when Jesus was up on that mountain, fasting for 40 days and nights, and Satan came to him and said, if you just bow down to me, I'll give you this whole kingdom. If he can offer Jesus that, why can't he offer me what I want?
Amen. That's right.
Sometimes promotion scares me more than it excites me. Because I think to myself, what if I can do this without Jesus? Because you know what my reality is sometimes? My reality is I realize that no crackhead, no meth addict, no sex addict, no person that is so far from God it'd embarrass you. If they came in, they stink. They don't look like they should look. They don't act like they should act. That person is not more desperate in need of God than I am. I'm serious. And I mean today, right now. I don't mean last week when I did something bad and I felt bad about it. I mean this moment. Because this is not what my life's built on. Who cares if the promotion comes or doesn't come? If that promotion is what you're centered around, you'll skip the process and try to jump the fence that God is the door that you can enter into. You'll miss the whole point of God's goodness and His grace because you so desire to get to your own goal. And for some of y'all, your goal is godly. It's exactly what God called you to, but you are tired of the process. Listen, just trust Jesus and put Him at the center. No matter what hell comes against you, it will come. No matter what comes against you, Jesus will lead you down His path of righteousness. He must be centered. He must be at the center, because the last thing is agreement is before acceleration. So what is agreement? Agreement is not you thinking that every word that I said in this message is right. I agree with what you said, Pastor. Thank you. Praise God, that's not agreement. Agreement is right here. Because if y'all heard the conversations that I have with Leah, we think quite differently. What I want to do as a hobby and what Leah wants to do as a hobby does not agree. I do not want to paint. How many of y'all are awake? I'm proud that she does. Praise God for the painting. Oof. I do not want to watch. She's so excited that, was it Fuller House is back on Netflix? And Dancing with the Stars. Jesus, take the wheel. So we do not agree on shows. We do not agree on hobbies. But one thing we do agree with in our hearts is that we want all that Jesus has for our lives and our kids' lives and our children's children. And so if He says it, we'll do it. And agreement can happen. And the Bible says in Matthew 18, 19, if any two agree in Jesus' name, it is done. That Jesus does it. But that agreement does not mean, you know what, I'm just in the mood for a new house, so I'm agreeing with you that I got a new house. When God puts it on my heart, it's time to agree. Until then, maybe just keep going. Maybe just keep walking in a manner worthy of my calling. Maybe just stop trying to figure it all out as if I'm the point of all the process, and maybe I just keep walking with God. Maybe I just keep walking with God. Maybe I just keep walking it out. Maybe it's a little bit less talk and a lot more walk. Maybe this whole thing was never about me in the first place, and maybe, just maybe, that the struggle in your family was not the person that you thought it was. Maybe the struggle in your family is because you wanted to blame somebody else for you not walking it out. Maybe the biggest issue that I have in life is that I want to blame everything and every devil and everything else in the whole world and point at you and say, you should have been nicer to me and I can't understand you. Instead of saying, you know what, let them all hate. As long as I got your love, we can do this. We can do this. So I'm going to close with this story. And I'm going to sweat a little more. So I hope y'all are ready, but it's short. When I was in here praying Thursday, Lord, how do we do this? Thanking God for y'all and for all that He's done and how good God is. And sitting right here just past Austin in that little crack in the floor. And I'm walking and I heard the Lord say, as surely as I'm standing here right this moment, acceleration's coming in 2019. And I stopped and went, whoa, for real? For who? Because can I just tell you what the reality is? The reality is when the preacher leaves, people leaves. Okay. Some of y'all are going to leave. I love y'all. And if this ain't your home, we're cool. But let me talk to the people that are going to stay. You know what? I like being me. I really like being me. Some of y'all can't tell sometimes, but I'm comfortable being Mark. And Mark was never the reason for acceleration. Don't miss this. As a matter of fact, I can be the reason to stop acceleration when this kind of agreement is not me and the Lord. I'm not figuring this whole thing out, and I'm not declaring this is how it's going to happen. What I am declaring in Jesus' name, because a prophetic word, is not to excite you or get you to go, we're good, we made it. It's actually to prepare you. It's preparation before promotion. It's process before promotion. It ain't got nothing to do with get excited. Sometimes you need to put your bootstraps on when you hear a word. But I just believe in Jesus' name that acceleration is coming to you. That the ones that align themselves in Jesus' name and get under the leadership of this house and get under the next pastor that God has ordained before time began. He knew I was gone. He knew that I was here for a season and that I was going to another assignment. In Jesus' name, I believe that great acceleration is coming to this house. And I sure wouldn't make that up if I didn't hear the Lord say it, but I kept asking and he kept saying. And I'm believing for acceleration where we're going as well. But what I heard in this house when I was thanking God, what I heard in that spot right there was acceleration, acceleration, acceleration. It is coming. It is coming. And this is how I think acceleration happens. I'm not arguing that this is our story. I do not believe that it will be exactly like this. Tell me one more time the name. Anson. I don't know why my brain will not keep Anson. 1857. 4 years before the Civil War. I don't know if y'all know this. I'm not really even trying to be funny. How many of y'all know that race relations probably wasn't real good before the Civil War in the South? Amen. Some of y'all that didn't say yes, it was, right? 1861 to 65 was the Civil War. 1857 in Charleston, South Carolina, where the Civil War began. Secession was going to take place there. You wouldn't think that black people and white people could worship together, but in this church, a Presbyterian church, no less, there were 48 black people and 12 white people. The pastor was white. And they just felt led in that year of 1857 to start praying that God would do a great work. So in their prayer, they just submitted themselves and said, God, you do a work. God, you do a work. And they began to pray. They began to fast. They began to get under God and say, we need you more desperately than anything. Watch this. And in their prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit fell. The pastor says, and you can read his quote. Y'all can look it up. Charleston, South Carolina. That it felt like an electric current went through his body. And that he knew the Holy Spirit had fallen differently than he had ever experienced before. And he looked out. And at the faces and the people in the crowd who shouldn't have been worshiping together, who had no business in agreement because slavery was still taking place then, better yet, even freedom, but you still didn't have equality until the late 60s. But you got these crazy people that decide it doesn't matter what the world thinks that we're supposed to do. We're going to worship God in agreement. We're going to come together black and white in a day that was impossible and you couldn't do. And we're just going to lift up the name of Jesus above all things. We're going to come together and we're going to fast and pray that his spirit would fall. Watch this. This is what happened over the next 8 weeks. Over 2,000 people, not all together. At one time, 1,500 to 2,000 people were showing up trying to get in that church. And every church in Charleston, every church in Charleston, every church in Charleston, every single church in Charleston grew in numbers. In Beaufort, that's south, that's way down at the bottom, there was a church that went from 40 to 400, and they said it was because they came to one of the services in those 8 weeks, and what they brought home was something that changed their church, and it grew in numbers. Why did that happen? Maybe better yet, why does that not happen? You know what? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead has been in all of us and every Christian that has ever walked on this planet. It does not happen, not because they worshiped a little better than us, not because the pastor gave a great word, not because they prayed for 10 hours straight. It's because in unity and in the bond of peace, they threw off the chains and the things that had been entangling them, and they fixed their eyes on Jesus. And then they said, we're going to agree on this. I don't understand all this stuff in our politics. I don't understand all this stuff in everything else, but I believe acceleration comes only when we say, Jesus, you're at the center. We're going to come together and do whatever you say. And if you say to sell this land, if you say to buy this land, if you say to move this place, if you say to do this, we're going to do it because we believe what you say above what we think. And when we come together, y'all, everything changes in Jesus' name. Because if we just come together without Jesus, we just having a race relations rally and it don't do us any good. Because tomorrow we're still going to call you a name that we shouldn't. Is that too awkward? Because it's truthful. Until my heart changes, the evilness in my heart's going to come out and you're going to feel it eventually. What I wish I could do in loving you will eventually be the hate that I have for you. Until the axis point that I have in my life is Jesus at the center of it all. And I believe what happened in 1857 does not have to be a blip in the radar screen. With all my heart, I believe this, y'all. And the last message I'll preach is your pastor. God did not start this thing to be a one-generation church that is done with a pastor. This has never been about me, and this was never the final piece of my own destiny, and never yours either. This is a generational church that will be here for our children's children's children, that will reach tens of thousands of people with the gospel of Jesus. And I believe with all my heart, acceleration is coming. It's in a way that no one thinks, because everybody thinks you got to have a certain amount of whatever. You know what? Bump all that. I think we got to have one Lord, one Spirit, one truth, one faith, one God who is over all and through all and in all. And I'm declaring in Jesus' name that acceleration's coming. It's coming. It's coming. So I just want you to know I love you with my whole heart. But hear me. If y'all have never heard me say anything, I hope y'all will catch this. Mark Pangle's not the point. Please, in Jesus' name, never make me the point. And whatever you've had that has tangled you up because that thing has been what you're focused on, lay it to the side and put your eyes back on Jesus, because you're not too far away. He's close. He's simply waiting on you with his arms open wide saying, come home, daughter. Come home, son. Come home, daughter. Come home, son. I love you. I love you. You belong here. Welcome home. Jesus, we love you and we worship you. We love you and we worship you. I'm thankful that the point was never me. And Lord, I confess in front of my family that there's so many times in my life I want to be the point. And whenever you're at the center, it does not mean difficulty comes. It means though 1,000 may fall on my left and 10,000 on my right, I will keep walking because you've set this path before me. That no weapon formed against us can prosper. But not if we try to do it on our own and just claim something. It's when we do it on our own and we walk in unison and in harmony with you at the center. With you is the most important thing. You are Lord and we are not. So God, we walk this thing out because we believe that tens of thousands, millions of people need Jesus. And so, God, you do exceedingly and abundantly more than our brains can comprehend. You blow people's minds. You change the environment. And we will do exactly what you say. So bring the new wine, Jesus. Bring the new wineskin. Fill us every single morning with your great love and your mercies that never end. Bring the new wine, Jesus. We love and worship you. Amen.